Welcome to the XJ Music Podcast, where we investigate new possibilities in background music for video games, live streaming, and environments. I'm founder Charney Kay, here with co-founder Jamal Whitaker.
Hey, hey.
We're joined today by Gordon McGlattery, a video game industry veteran and founder of audio design studio A Shell in the Pit, who has a long list of really cool titles in their portfolio. Welcome to the show, Gordon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You know that we've been working on some music middleware similar to what composers have been hacking together in Wise or FMod, except that XJ is focused entirely on music. Before we get into that, for background, just tell us a little bit about your history composing music for video games in Wise or FMod or what other approaches you use.
I originally wanted to work in film. Then I went to film school. While I was in film school, I kind of learned about the game audio landscape because we had a course on it, and I learned about what indie games were doing and got very excited by that. Specifically, this was in 2011, and I landed a game called Rogue Legacy, which wound up doing fairly well, and another game called Shellraiser, which was a mobile game that did all right as well. So I got very lucky with the people I connected with early on. And that accelerated things for me, and also, you know, showed me that there was a career here. And then, but in contrast, and also the people were really nice. Like, I really enjoyed the folks I was working with, despite not being a, you know, a serious gamer or anything, but mainly because I hadn't seen what the indie game scene was up to, and that a lot of the same, you know, artistic goals that you can achieve working in film, you can achieve in games as well. Mainly what I was aware of was were huge AAA titles and things like that. And then by contrast, I worked on a couple short films and they were goddamn nightmares. So, and the people were liars and
rough
and not great. So yeah, I think when a lot of people are starting out, you know, you just go where you go, where the opportunities are, and that's the opportunities and the better work environment was in games. So that's the avenue I wound up pursuing. As far as like the actual dynamic music goes, Rogue Legacy was in XNA. So we had to use their system, and the music for that game is really not dynamic at all. We tried to do that, but we just wound up, it was just better to have just like loops of songs that were catchy, and that worked for that type of game.
Yeah.
And then from there on out, my next title that comes to mind that I did dynamic music on was an early Devolver title called Oklos. And we used FMod for that. Same thing, mainly it just tried to write catchy songs, but we actually did do more dynamic stuff with that. It's a mob game where you start with one character and then you walk up to other characters, and the more characters you collect and the more mayhem you cause, cause different behaviors within the music system. So you'd start mainly layering instruments. Didn't do that much like horizontal hopping from section to section. It was mainly just bringing things up and down, so nothing too fancy. I think probably the next sort of like big couple of markers, Wander Song would be the biggest one, I think. And that was a game maker game, which did not support middleware. So we built our own in Game Maker. And that's where I learned, it was like an insane boot camp for specifically composing for dynamic systems so that they can be implemented in a simple system, but in a pretty highly dynamic way. So just knowing not how to write a song, because my system is usually just like, just write a good song.
Okay.
And then figure out the dynamic stuff later. So I would just write a song that I was thought was good and that Greg liked. And then I would take that and break that out into its dynamic chunks. And then using information like loop length, tempo, and splitting the tempo up, just seeing how many seconds and milliseconds a bar is, when transitions can happen. I would be able to send Greg, you know, folder full of files list of directions, mm-hmm. and then we could get those playing pretty nicely in a Game Maker game. And I think to this day, it's probably the most complex dynamic system Game Maker's ever seen. and I wrote 100 songs for it. So it was, wow. it was a serious boot camp, and I can take a tune from non-dynamic to dynamic pretty quickly now. And that can go in just any engine, native without middleware if required.
Yeah.
But it also allows me to plan a lot better for when I am using middleware.
Huh.
And then the Stella was another one. It was a game by Skybox Labs. I did very proud of the soundtrack on that. It was a much more cinematic game. And that's where I learned a few more techniques on how to do things like switching from rhythm-driven music to non-rhythm-driven music in a game that moves forward linearly, but has these, you know, different sections and has to feel cinematic, where we can't just play a catchy loop. Mm. It has moments that have to be hit. They have to be hit on time. Mm. So that was a really fun one to work on as well. And then from there on, Rogue Legacy 2, did some stuff for Five Nights at Freddy's recently. Mm. That was, pretty simple, not much going on the dynamic side of things. Rogue Legacy 2, again, we didn't do much in the way of dynamic stuff, except for the boss tracks. I got really crazy with dynamic music on the boss tracks. Figured out a few FMod tricks that I'm not sure anyone else had figured out yet. Now just working on our game, Fish Game, surprisingly non-dynamic music for a game that's come from an audio studio.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, a few other things in the works. But yeah, mainly I've done no dynamic music implementation in Wise. None of the games that I've composed for have called for it.
Hmm.
We do tons of games in Wise. Other people on my team have done dynamic music in Wise, but I've never touched it.
Hmm.
I'm an FMod boy.
Oh, cool.
What is your favorite aspect of using a middleware that allows you to like come up with, you know, tricks for dynamic music like FMod versus just using pre-recorded tracks? Do you have a preference at all?
Well, I like having a toolkit that is open-ended. That's how you can discover those tricks, where it is. And Wise is the same thing. You know, it's a logic system rather than being incredibly preset. I do have some pretty preset ways of doing things now. Like I have systems that I am like pretty sure I can solve most problems with in FMod. And I'm not using it to its, you know, to its full capabilities by a long shot either. I'm running a business now or two businesses and have two kids. So I actually am not even doing that as much music as I would like these days. I think the logic system approach is something I really enjoy. That's when you can, make these discoveries, share them with other people, see how people have solved the same problem in a different way, that kind of thing.
Mm. So how do you collaborate with other game music composers and how do you collaborate on music composition with the other elements of the game sound design?
With other composers, I haven't done a terribly large amount of it, but Rogue Legacy 2 specifically was Judson and I, Judson Tedix is his artist name. We did, because on Rogue Legacy 1, we were two composers, but we were working kind of completely separately. Basically what happened is, I was new, not very fast. There was a sound designer working on it. He had to take a job at EA for visa reasons. So I took over sound design and I wasn't really able to keep up with music and sound design. So we brought another composer on, who was one that Cellar Door Games had worked with in the past. But we didn't really collaborate. We just kind of wrote our own disparate tunes and it was noticeable. Like one song was by TEDx and one was by me and it was a less cohesive experience. So when Rogue Legacy 2 production started, we were like, hey, let's collaborate more. So we did more pre-production, like we created a couple contact kits. We chose a few instruments that we would both use, and we still went ahead and wrote our own songs. But then we would kind of sort of make cameos on one another's tracks as well. One was Judson, kind of, it was almost a cover, but not quite, of one of my Rogue Legacy 2 tracks. There was another one where we collaborated quite significantly and Judson contributed like entire rhythm sections and just other instrument layers to one of the final or the final boss track. And yeah, so we just did more planning, focused on tonality. And then also, since like Judson's kind of a wonder kind, he's like a professional graphic designer. He designs his own board games. And music is another thing he does. But since music is like one of the only things I do have a bit more technical background. And he's more jazz minded. So we had to like keep it in simple keys and make things a little more cohesive on that front. So just more communication.
Got it. Well, before you drop this gem about being able to do things in FMOD that nobody else has, and I won't ask the magician to share his tricks.
Oh, I'll share it. I've shared it on Twitter and stuff.
Cool.
The one I discovered that made production faster for me with a very little downside is, so, you know, when you're making loops and sometimes if you're creating a drone loop, it can be almost impossible to export it and have it loop perfectly. Like you always get a tick. I found that with NFMOD, if you put the sound, so you didn't make a loop, you just played the drone full 8 bars or whatever and let it tail out. You just put that into an event and then you use the event in an encapsulated form and then loop that, but shorten it a tiny bit so that it's just a titch inside the loop bracket and then give it an envelope so that it has like, you know, a 4 second release or a 3 second release that it will then loop perfectly. And you can do that with anything. So I was like, oh, I don't have to export loops anymore at all if I don't want to. So no more fiddling with finding the perfect loops. The only downside is it uses one extra voice on the system. So might be a problem for very, very busy games, but for most games, or if you're doing it like a bunch in one event, but other than that, it's like not that big of a deal. So that one was cool. And then I think the other trick, one thing I was using for those boss tracks in Rogue Legacy was using one melodic loop or a layer of melodic loops. They might be fading up and down or whatever. That might be 16 bars. And then within that, I would have percussion loops that were, increasing in intensity or else totally different. But I would be using an encapsulated event in the 16-bar melodic loops so that you can jump the playhead around within it and it's not going to restart it. It'll just keep playing it. But if you advance from one of the percussion loops to another percussion loop, you can get an entirely new percussion bass, which can change the entire character of what's playing right now without having to change everything. That was one I used pretty heavily in Rogue Legacy 2 as well.
Cool.
Probably like hard to picture without FMOD in front of you.
yeah, we've got enough background like talking about it that I'm following what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious to just like intro another conversation, because what has been so interesting for us, I mean, we built something that does something really specific in the space that we're talking about right now, but it's sort of twofold. Like when I sent you the link before and you'd mentioned it doesn't really look like something you'd use. So on the one hand, I want to hear about that. Really actually love to hear about that. And also part of it is to just see if we've even communicated what XJ is or does.
That was going to be my first question is like, can you explain to me what it does better? Because I'm not actually sure I was catching it entirely.
Cool. From the top, it's two pieces, very similar to something like FMOD. There's a desktop workstation where you work composing music, and then there's a runtime. And we're working on getting the runtime down into this little C++ playback module that is as portable as possible. So actually, one possible use might be if you got a team that's doing all of the effects for a game in FMOD, you would use XJ Music just as a plugin.
Okay.
All the music is coming from just this one voice in there. And then within the workstation, in terms of what XJ is as a music system, it's actually really similar to a lot of the things you were just describing, where it's not generating music for you. It's even confusing to be in a world now where like generative AI is rampant, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing that this gets misinterpreted as. But no, you really, it is for handcrafted music. It's somebody, like you said, you write a great song and then you work from there. And whether it's stems is how some people think about it, or just like a more atomic level, taking your percussion loops and getting them in there, all the different background sounds. And we have different modes of the instruments and programs that you can use within XJ, whether you want to work more in terms of loops or you want to have things that are triggered on chords. But it's really, it's this toolkit for specifically representing music and then playing it back dynamically, where it's kind of a setup of like memes or tags that you send from the game to the engine to tell it where to be in your composition, and then an intensity slider that you're using to just like activate and deactivate layers.
Okay. And so you're composing in XJ?
Yeah. I mean, in the sense.
So not in the DAW.
You're going to still have a DAW.
Okay.
Which I'm sure you do, right? What side by side with FMOD.
Oh yeah. No, I do the vast majority of my work, yeah, in Ableton.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just once you get to the point of implementing it.
Right.
Yeah. That we're hoping to give composers a toolkit that is like very music specific. So you don't have to hack a lot of those same things together.
That makes sense. So in XJ, I'd be bringing my loops and my files in. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the interface. I think one of the things I like about FMOD is that, and this is again, like my brain maybe not being the perfect match, is like, I do very poorly with abstraction.
Yeah.
Like I could never, what are the things that chip musicians always use? Like Famitrackers, trackers. That
oh, kind trackers. Of thing. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Trackers. Like I can't hack that stuff.
Got it.
Like if I can't see like the waveforms that are playing and like the MIDI notes that are playing on a pretty linear scale, like I get lost very quickly. Are there plans for like that kind of visualization, or is it, it looked like it was quite a matrixy, modular, remembering which part is which, and mixing them accordingly in real time?
That's an interesting and really cool bit of feedback. In one sense, yes. So the interface that we've been demoing so far and is just this kind of playback mode, like the matrixy look is almost like a debugger where you're
right.
Just seeing like all the layers playing at once, and you're seeing the way that XJ is like fabricating these segments of music one at a time.
Yeah.
There are other modes in the workstation, and it's stuff that we're actually just banging the last kinks out of and are looking forward to demoing. But that bit of feedback is really cool in terms of thinking more and more about how we can show all the pieces working together in that mode and not just, let's say, a beat.
Yeah.
Because right now it's sort of program by program.
Yeah, it is definitely a my brain and not all brains thing, but it is a lot of brains maybe,
yeah.
Or some brains, because mm-hmm. Wise is sort of similar. And that's one of the reasons I wouldn't say I've shied away, because it's never actually, the opportunity hasn't arisen, but their dynamic music system is also a little bit more abstracted than FMOD's, you know, doesn't look as much like a DAW. In Ableton, like I don't even ever use session view. I only use arrangement right. view.
Right.
Even session view is like too much for how my head works.
That's cool. Definitely makes sense. Well, yeah, I mean, along that lines, what you were talking about, just like your process, and I see you're sitting in a studio, you've got instruments behind you, and I don't know, music is human. It comes from this place of wanting to just express yourself freely and not be hindered by the tools. So yeah, that is interesting. Like you said, you work starting in Ableton. My question would just be, yeah, like what other tools have you used there? Or sort of how did you arrive at that?
At Ableton?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been using it since probably 2008, 2009. Before that, I wasn't, you know, really into, I was just messing around, didn't know anything about engineering, but going all the way back to Fruity Loops, I think.
Yeah. Cool Edit.
Cool Edit Pro was my first one. Of course, not actually Pro because it was pirated, hey. But Fruity Loops. I think I started on Fruity Loops 2, well, FL now, of course. I have tinkered with Cubase and then Reason.
Yeah.
I was dabbling in Reason, and around the same time I got into Ableton, I was messing with Reason. So I was doing a bit of rewire and things there. But yeah, landed on Ableton. That's what I do all my composition in, but I use Reaper for any sound design stuff, and I use it for mastering.
Reaper?
Yeah.
Reaper sort of has this other side life as being something that tracker people are really into, right? Is that's just like a different mode, different view mode it has?
It is for more technically focused people. Like, it's a steep learning curve, but it's, you can customize it so much. It's really popular in the game audio sound effects community because you can make it incredibly efficient. And that's why I use it for mastering, is because the foldering options and the export, they have a render matrix for exporting, where you can basically just, you only have to hit export once and everything comes out named. Whereas in Ableton, when I'm mastering, I have to export everything individually and I have to name every file individually. Similar with Pro Tools even as well. So for when you're doing sound effects, if you've got a sound effects session that you just designed 50 assets for, there's almost no other choice. It's once you know about it, you know. There are ways you can, like, you know, bounce in place in Pro Tools and then whatever, with Command K to just export the highlighted groups and stuff, but it's still, Reaper just makes things a lot faster on that front. And there's some other cool mastering things to do with it. Depends on how you lay out your mastering sessions. Like, I like to have a track with one track per song with the same chain on it, but I'll make tweaks to the chain. And that can drive up the CPU a lot. And Reaper makes it pretty easy to automate just shutting off the chain if it's not actively playing anything, that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's a great DAW.
Do you use that also, like, working with music assets? How much have you found that those same kind of workflow problems come up there?
Since when I'm writing for games, like, the songs kind of trickle out, like, one by one, so I don't have to export a bunch of stuff at once. So I'll have all my raw assets, and then they'll also be in game, just not mastered in game. I like to leave everything till the end of the game and then master everything in one pass. Makes cohesion easier to achieve, because I haven't forgotten what I've done, because you know, game developments can take years. Or else I've, like, gotten better at things. So if I started the mastering session 2 years ago and then I am finishing it now, I have to redo it anyway. So I will, just go through all my sessions, bounce out everything, bring it all into Reaper for mastering. And then, because it's dynamic music, a lot of the time, you know, even if it's a 20, 30 song soundtrack, like, the dynamic pieces will be hundreds of files. So I have to, it makes that a lot more efficient as well, that bouncing process.
Got it. Do you save the implementation part in FMOD for last after that, or would you have a rough version of that you then?
No, I'll have everything implemented, but it will be implemented as raw files. So the music will have to be remixed in FMOD afterwards. But since I've mastered it and the loudness is all good now, it should be able to just grab one level for all the and apply that to every track. But usually that won't be up to me. That'll be up to the audio director to actually do the mixing. So, not my problem.
Right.
I tried to not make it a problem either.
Music has to get folded into this larger problem of, like, the whole game mix and the leveling.
That's another thing I like doing with FMOD is, and that's just another getting a toolkit thing is, and I do it a lot in my music mixing now too, is just using a whole lot of sidechaining to create these hierarchies. And within an FMOD, if I'm an audio director on a game, I can, you know, put VO at the very top of the hierarchy and it can compress every track below it. And music is actually kind of like fourth a lot of the time, because your VO is more important than your music. Your key sound effects are more important than your music. Your HUD and UI is more important than your music. So while we all, as composers, think music is, like, really great, it can't be in the top of the mix all the time. A lot of things are more important for player communication. But then using that sidechaining hierarchy, it, you know, if you do it right, it never really sounds like the music is getting turned down that much. And it's nice and reactive. It doesn't preempt. It works well. You know, not unlike what Wise does with, what's it called? HD something system. So,
no, it's cool. Yeah. You know, the question for us is, what's it going to take to just get a few very talented people to just try this crazy thing that we built, you know?
Oh, I think a lot of people will be interested in trying. My question I remembered that I'd forgotten before was, from what I saw in the demo, it definitely relies more on the generative even though it's not, it's playing your music, but it's, you know, it's generating new combinations of things. Myself and a lot of people I know, we actually demand a great deal of control over when things happen within game. There are certain parts of a game where the generative aspect is desirable and wanted. Long periods of open world, menu things. Well, it depends on the menu, because sometimes the menu is like important to convey the theme song. Whereas other parts, like we really want to get the hook to drive that into the player's brains. And if we're assembling things semi-randomly, it can be harder to find that hook. And I'm wondering if, what your thoughts are on that, or if there are plans for that.
I'll let Jamal respond to that first. I have some specific thoughts too.
Sure.
Even just in the last couple of months, as we've been working on the XJ Music Workstation, I think we've implemented a lot of different aspects of control. Whereas, you know, maybe even 6 months ago, there was more focus on the generative music side of things.
Yeah.
Right now, on the demonstration that I've been putting together as we head up into GDC and everything, all the events surrounding that, and want to like show the workstation off, we've just been doing a lot of work, like I said, on just really getting the ability to maintain that control. Mm-hmm. If you want to have sections of your game where you have, it's just strictly reliant on generative sounds and generative music, we can totally do that in the workstation. And then if you want pretty much total control, I think, is that right, Tarni? We've got so many systems that we've been just in the last couple of months that we've put together that are really enhancing that control.
Yeah, I think that nails it. Over the journey of the last few years, where we started off was more of this novel kind of, it'll surprise you, right, as a composer. And every piece of feedback has led in the other direction of what you're saying. It's like, no, we've got a really specific idea of what we want. The piece that we're solving is just to make it dynamic with what the player is doing.
Right.
And then I'd say there's these minor details where maybe instead of having one transition, I know I've been playing Cyberpunk, the new Phantom Liberty expansion recently, and loving that. And it's like this massive game that they put a huge amount of effort into. And yet every single time that I'm triggering combat, the lead-in is just exactly the same.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, well, we know exactly where we're going and when we're going there, but maybe there's 8 different versions of that transition that you uploaded, and they're not going to be used at random wherever. There's just 8 different options for that specific moment at different intensity levels. That's really what we've been focusing on now. It's like, you do have total control over what's being used when. You really just have this option of providing a bunch of different options for, you know, individual pieces. And it's mostly stuff like transitional sounds, maybe perk loops, whereas a hook, to your point, that's going to be something that you have the most control over. Maybe you just have like 3 different renditions of something at different intensity levels. But yeah, control has really been the whole direction that that's gone into talking to video game composers.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. I'd be curious to see how that's progressing.
Cool. We're continuing to work on it. We're going to be at GDC. I don't know, are you coming down for GDC?
Yep.
Nice. We'll holler at you and see where you're at for that. There's some events that are hosted by SF Game Development here and Jordan Shoots that we're going to be at. We'll communicate about all that. But I know you're a super busy dude and it won't keep you any longer, but it's really been a pleasure speaking with you. And thanks for sharing your thoughts and your background on this.
Yeah, nice to chat with you guys too. And yeah, see you in San Francisco.
Sweet.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man.
Cheers, guys.
If you're interested in realizing new possibilities in background music for video games, live streaming, or environments, get at us. Here at XJ, we believe music is human.
Something that artists couldn't even dream of. Now it's at our fingertips. XJ Music.